The show is live and local. It's your connection to local performances. I'm Kevin Kelly. Today's program will have two wonderful traditional Irish musicians, neither of them Ireland-born, although one of them living in Ireland currently. Sean Gavin, born in Detroit, lives in Chicago. Jesse Smith, born in Baltimore, lives in Ireland. Sean is an Uilleann piper. Those are the small pipes. Also plays flute and whistle. And Jesse is a fiddler, and they have many collaborations with many different types of people, both bands and sometimes supporting other groups and sometimes solo. And they're both they are together today live on our show. They'll be playing a concert tonight in Urbana on the Piper's Hut concert series happening at Heartland Gallery on West Main in downtown Urbana. That show starts at 8 o'clock, and ours starts very shortly. It's live and local. We heard two different pieces that involve our two guests today on Live and Local. First, from the band Bua, from their CD called Down the Green Fields. It was the Killeshandra Lasses and the title track, which featured Sean Gavin on the flute and fiddler Devin Shepherd, Brian Miller on the guitar. Sean Gavin, one of my two guests today. And then we heard a song or air called The Little Healthy Hill, and that featured fiddler Jesse Smith along with guitarist John Blake. And was there some multi-tracking going on there? So there was...
I'm not that good.
Was that you on fiddle and on fiddle?
A couple fiddles and a viola.
Oh, and the viola.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought there were a number of different voices there. So, Jesse Smith from his CD called Jigs and Reels and One Air. I could have added in there. They're going to be playing together, Sean and Jesse are, tonight at 8 o'clock at Heartland Gallery on the Piper's Hut Concert Series. This is a return appearance, I know, for Sean, because he was with the band Bua, and they were all on the show here. And Jesse, I don't know, is this your first time?
First time, yeah, thanks.
Yeah, well, thanks to both for coming on the show today. And did you drive down from Chicago, or did you come in from somewhere else?
We did. We came from Chicago this morning.
Thanks for making the early morning journey.
Oh, thanks for having us.
It was early when you left, I guess.
Yes, it was. It was early for us.
Yeah, so you both have played with different people, of course, and Sean, not only Bua, but also this... is it a newish band called Nick Gavisky?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
a combination of the names of all the members. Is that a fairly recent endeavor?
Yeah, we made that album I think about 2.5 years ago, something like that. And it's a group that I play with a couple of girls from Ireland, from County Meath, Kathleen and Bernadette McGowan, and an accordion player from Baltimore, where Jesse's from, called Sean McComiskey. And we all just got together one night and played tunes for fun and had such a good time. And it was so much fun, we thought we'd make an album together, and we actually did it. So that's how that came about.
Did you just make the album, or are you also
doing stuff? We made it about 2.5 years ago.
Well, what I mean is, are you also a band that plays out?
We do play out. Two of the members have full-time jobs, so we have to tour when their schedules allow. We make it out a couple times a year.
And that's pretty much true for Bua as well. Or are you touring more regularly with them?
Actually, we're all full-time musicians in Bua.
Okay.
So although we're not constantly touring together, we're usually playing with somebody or another.
And you come by Irish music quite genuinely, in that your dad was a fiddler from Ireland.
Mm-hmm. That's right. He's a fiddle player from County Clare, Mick Gavin. He settled in Detroit in the late 70s.
So does that make it especially easy to collaborate with a fiddle player in general?
Well, I suppose so. I mean, my father's a fiddle player, and my brother and my roommate and my girlfriend, so I'm used to playing with a lot of fiddle players, I guess. It's kind of, I would say, the most common instrument for the melody in Irish music, especially in America.
Although one of the differences between traditional Irish music and a lot of other tunes is that a lot of other types of music is that at times all the instruments can be melody instruments, or many of the instruments can be melody instruments.
Yeah.
and are playing the melody at the same time.
That's right. Most of them are melody instruments. There's only a couple instruments that are used for accompaniment, like the guitar or piano or
spoons.
Harp. The Bauron, their spoons.
The spoons of the drum, yeah, of course. That would be a little harder to... It would be interesting to hear the melody, if at all possible.
We like to reserve the spoons for soup, though.
Jesse, you were born actually not that far from where I was born. I mean, you were born in Baltimore. I was born in southern Pennsylvania, but only hour and three quarters apart. I used to make that drive all the time to take horn lessons. Beautiful part of the country, I think. What made you leave that for Ireland? You've been in Ireland for how long now?
Been in Ireland 15 years, I think. Yeah, 14 or 15 years. I just was going over there a lot when I was a kid. And
specifically for musical reasons?
Music and girls. But no, I went there for the music. But Yeah, and then I kind of dropped out of college, and thought I'd go over to Ireland for a while to get away from the heat at home, and I just ended up staying over there. Started playing music, and I moved to Ennis with my friend Colm Gannon, who's from Boston. He plays the accordion, and we ended up getting an apartment in Ennis, County Clare, and just really enjoyed being there and playing the music and being surrounded and kind of immersed in all the sessions and stuff that were going on there. And I just ended up staying there. It was completely by accident, and always thought I'd be coming back to Baltimore, and I just haven't yet. And now I'm married there, and my wife's about to have a baby, so I'm going to be there for a while more, I think.
And I assume you married an Irish lass.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. She wasn't that easy, to be honest.
Makes it all the sweeter, right? You know, you actually have to work for somebody. Are you playing music full-time?
Yeah, and teaching a lot now.
And you did finish a degree.
Yeah, I did a master's degree. Yeah. But I pretty much had it finished before I even started the degree. But I did a thesis on Michael Coleman. He was probably the most famous Irish musician in the traditional music. He recorded 78 records in the 1920s and 30s. And he recorded about over 90 tracks of music, which is quite substantial for the time. And
now, when you say 78 records, you mean 78 RPM records?
Yes.
Or 78 records?
78 RPMs.
Okay.
Yeah, 78 RPM records, the gramophone records.
78 records would be a lot of records.
He recorded probably about 45 records.
Still a lot of records.
Yeah, a lot. And he was one of the real famous traditional musicians in New York, you know. And a lot of his music, Sean would agree, probably, you know, a lot of his sets of tunes, you know, in Irish traditional music, musicians play, lots of times they play two or three tunes together. And some of his sets of tunes are still being played by musicians in Ireland and in America. And they're kind of like classic sets of tunes that everybody, lots of people would know. And lots of people don't even know that they're his, you know, that's how much they've kind of been immersed into the, or stuck around in the tradition, you know.
Well, I guess a lot of people learn tunes without necessarily knowing their names either, so they wouldn't know where they came from. We had a girl yesterday play Celtic harp on the show, and I remember she played two different sets, and one of them had three different tunes, and she could only remember the name of one.
Yeah, that's common with us.
Tunes. Yeah, that's what she said. And the he comes from the Sligo tradition.
That's right, yeah, Sligo.
And what's characteristic of that? Hard to say. Right? You wrote a whole dissertation on it.
I know. That can make it harder to try to describe it, though, you know? There's a lot of detail there. But I suppose there's certain elements that you distinguish some of those older Sligo players with other traditional players from Ireland, from different regions. It's to do with their rhythm and their pace and their ornamentation. They had a lot of ornamentation, and they had a kind of a style that I suppose, you know, that kind of like cascading triplets that they do. Yeah, they put that in there a lot, and a lot of triplets and a lot of rolls and things that you'd hear in Irish music. You know, it's an abundant amount of ornamentation. Really, is probably one of the characteristics of it. And they played pretty quick.
Definitely.
Will we hear that in your playing?
Probably, maybe, but maybe not either. It depends. Sometimes I listen. I like a lot of different styles. You know, I don't really just focus in on the Sligo style anymore. But when I was doing that for a while, I just listened to Michael Coleman. You know, that's the player we're talking about, and some of his contemporaries. And I kind of maybe did start copying them a little bit too much, I thought, for a while. But now I backed off.
But it'll still be there somewhere, absorbed in the style.
Well, now that you mentioned it, I'm definitely not doing it.
Well, I was hoping we could actually hear what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah, all right. Well, I'll show you.
Okay,
I'll show you.
Fine. All right, well, why don't we have you play, and whatever happens, happens, whether it's Michael Coleman style or not.
Well, actually, this first tune we're going to play was recorded by Michael Coleman, but that's wasn't planned by us. It's just a tune that he recorded in the early 20s called The Bag of Spuds.
The what?
The Bag of Spuds.
Or the Bag of Spuds.
Bag of Potatoes. And the second one comes from the same area. It's called Johnny Henry's. And I'll let Sean tell you a little bit about that.
Yeah, Johnny Henry was a fiddle player, and he has a brother. He's dead now, but his brother is living, and his brother's name is Kevin. Kevin Henry. He lives in Chicago. He's a great flute player and piper. And there's a lot of versions of this tune floating around that is Johnny Henry's, and this is one, the version of it that I got from Kevin. So I assume it's close to what Johnny would have played.
Jesse Smith and Sean Gavin, they'll be at the Heartland Gallery in Urbana tonight. Sean Gavin and Jesse Smith here live on Live and Local. They'll be on the Piper Sut Concert Series at Heartland Gallery in Urbana tonight for a show at 8 o'clock. And I'm always interested watching musicians in here as I get to do solo. I'm typically the only actual member of the audience aside from all you thousands who are listening to the show. I'm always interested in watching reactions or interactions, I should say, between players in music that is either improvised or rote learned or allows for some, you know, some sort of free playing. And there was a little look, Jesse, that you gave Sean at the end, and I don't know if that had meaning or just like, oh, that went all right, or what did that have
I
meaning
messed
other
up.
Than that?
I screwed up a little bit there at the end, and I lost the ending. So if nobody
it looked like a I screwed up look, but I didn't want to say that.
It happens with me all the time, so people that play with me are used to it. But
what was the screw up?
It wasn't anything too big deal, you know.
He got to the end before you did.
Yeah, he won the race.
Was it something like that, and that wasn't quite supposed to happen?
No, I just fluffed up something.
Yeah, okay.
He might not even notice.
I didn't notice.
Well, I mean, the whole, just even learning all these tunes, and some of them are so intricate, is always staggering to me. But it's also, we were saying that in Irish music, most of the instruments are melody instruments, and you play the same melody, which you were doing, except with, where it gets interesting, is all the different ornamentations. And at times, it sounded like it was the same tune, but it wasn't the same tune, because you each were doing your own thing, which is kind of what happens in jazz. I'm thinking Dixieland especially,
yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah, there's some degree of variation always, you know. But there's kind of, not rules, but like parameters, I guess. It's not like jazz in that way where anything flies, kind of. I suppose in most jazz it's not that case. That's not the case either. But like jazz, there's always kind of a, like, theme or something that you'd be working on, you know? For me, anyway. My approach to it usually tries to stay in the same style or rhetoric or something like that the whole way through.
So among the rules might be what?
Well, I mean, you wouldn't...
we're both playing the... Whatever version, you know, of the tune we're playing... We know the version that we're kind of playing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we're not just playing separate versions, even though we might do little variations. So a lot of variations in Irish music are kind of micro variations, you know, like with ornamentation instead of changing the melody so much, you know.
But and one of the things about playing the flute that in Irish music which I really like about it is the fact that you have to breathe, and therefore you must skip some notes, and then it gives you the ability, like you were saying, it's the same tune, but maybe there's different good things going on. Like, there's different ways to play the same tune. Even on the flute, if you choose to breathe in a different place another time around, you may create two new phrases that weren't there before, if you know what I mean.
So your breath choices are often exactly that. They're strategic choices, not only...
Exactly.
Oh, God, I got to breathe. I better do it here somewhere.
Right.
But
I try
I
not
to
do them out
him.
of
It's your whole style, isn't it?
Yeah. It's kind of my big thing is trying to breathe musically, which a lot of more modern flute players generally try to hide their breaths and make it seem like they're not breathing at all, which is impressive too. But I personally prefer trying to incorporate it in a musical way.
And they do that in some, I mean, can you do circular breathing on the flute?
No, just they play really, they don't take nearly as many breaths. It would take far fewer breaths and...
less rhythm in it, kind
of. Yeah, and I kind of think of the breathing as defining the rhythm a lot of times, and deciding when one phrase stops and another begins, and things like that. You know,
Jesse, you were talking about versions of tunes. You said if you're playing the same version of a tune, meaning it might be a tune that so and so wrote or came up with, but that somewhere along the line somebody modified.
Yeah,
and so you learned this version that was modified by so-and-so, and hopefully Sean knows that same version?
Well, yeah, or we might say, you know...
Check this out.
Yeah, like, or, you know, we were talking about Johnny Henry there, or Kevin Henry, and you might say, you know, Kevin played this phrase like this, so maybe that's the phrase we want to play really, like, together, you know? It might just be 10 notes or something, like, at the end of that tune. I learned Sean was playing the end a certain way, and I liked it. So we did that all the time. But some of the other parts of the tune, we don't have to play so much exactly the same, you know?
Right.
But really, I mean, there's thousands of tunes, but for each tune, there's thousands of ways of playing it, really, you know? And that's kind of what makes somebody a good player or not, is if they have their own way around the tune that's unique or whatever, you know? And then that really makes the player special if they, you know, even if they have 20 tunes that they are well known for or whatever, you know, that they've played in a special way that really sounds like them and not somebody else.
Right.
Well, and if you may be playing what you think is so-and-so's tune, but you might have slightly misremembered it, and then it really became your tune.
Well, that happens a lot. Yeah.
And then you pass it to the next person. It's like that game of telephone.
Yeah,
exactly.
You know,
yeah,
where it starts one way, and by the time it's all done, you think it's the same tune.
And comparing it to words is a good idea in a lot of ways. You know, like we were talking about different variations and phrasing. Like, there's a lot of different ways to say the same thing with using different words. It's kind of a similar idea in the music.
So, essentially, it's a tune that has a name, and you learned it the way you learned it, and and then it gets modified even as you play it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I might change, like, if we were playing a tune together that we'd never played together before, I'm gonna be listening for things that he's doing that I might want to change and play what he's doing, and maybe the other way around.
As it's happening.
Yeah.
How did you all find each other to start playing together, and when?
I'll tell you, I remember because I live in Dublin, and playing in this pub called The Cobblestone. And, well, I knew of Sean anyway, but the owner of the pub said, his name's Tom Mulligan, and he said, "Jesse, come here." And I went over and he said, "There's a flute player in here yesterday from Detroit called Sean Gavin." And I was like, "Oh." I was like, "Yeah, I think I know him." And then you stuck around for a couple of days, and we had a few tunes in the Cobblestone.
That's right.
And just became friends like that. That was maybe 4 or 5 years ago.
Something like that.
Yeah.
And are you touring together right now, or are you just getting together for a few gigs?
We are. We're doing a tour over the next couple weeks or so, with a few days off in between around the Midwest, and we're finishing up at a teaching week in Minnesota in St. Paul.
And is this your first tour together?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
We played a lot of music together over the last couple of years, like whenever I'd be over here or he'd be in Ireland, but we've never
done a gig.
No, just a session gig.
Tonight will be our first performance.
Oh, this is the first performance.
It's our debut performance.
So in a way, this is your debut performance.
Yeah. Here.
Oh, I love when that happens. We're talking with Sean Gavin and Jesse Smith, who will be in Urbana tonight at 8 o'clock. You're listening to Live and Local on FM 90.9. Our broadcast today is made possible in part by a grant from the Meredith Foundation dedicated to supporting the musical arts in performance and presentation. And we, of course, at WILL always appreciate your support. It's what allows us to bring you this program and live musicians like Sean and Jesse. And it's always a treat for me to whenever we can do live music on the show, like today. What do you want to do next? You got your pipes up here, but you had them up before, and then you switched them out for the flute.
Oh, well, just gotta improvise, you know. I thought we might try a few tunes with the pipes. Might do a couple of jigs. The first one is one that we learned from a recording of a guy named Johnny McGreevy, who was a great fiddle player from born and raised in Chicago. He died around 1990 or so, and then we'll play one after one called "The Humors of Glenn."
Yeah. Close enough for jazz.
I think so, yeah.
Ready?
Yeah. Go ahead. Thank you.
You guys were so much in sync on that one that I couldn't even tell that there was two voices going on at times. I mean, I was just like, where's the fiddle sound in there? The fiddle sound is right in there with the pipe sound. I took my headphones off for a second, and it's still the same way.
Yeah, fiddle and pipes go good together. Yeah. Well, fiddle and flute go good together, and fiddle and pipes. Fiddle with anything. Yeah, everybody likes playing with the fiddle. I mean, not with me, but with the fiddle, you know, because it kind of goes with all the instruments. So you wouldn't really put the pipes with an accordion, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But for some reasons, that's it works somehow, but it doesn't either. Most people think it doesn't, but, you know, fiddle goes with anything kind of.
Yeah, fiddle and pipes blend really well.
My fiddle teacher always said that that's the pipes were the king and the fiddle was the queen of Irish music instruments. Brendan always said that.
Yeah. I don't know how far I want to follow that up.
I don't either.
coming to the pipes, Sean, you're playing the Illan pipes, which, by the way, if you don't know, are spelled, I always have to look this up, so I'm looking at it right now, are spelled U-I-L-L-E-A-N-N.
That's right.
What does that mean?
I think it's the Irish word for elbow.
Because?
Because the pipes that I'm playing are not blown with your mouth. I have a bellows on my arm, a pump that I pump with my elbow into a bag.
Essentially strapped to your elbow.
Yeah, you have to wear this instrument. It goes in my closet with the rest of my clothes at night. So there's a pump on my arm which blows air into a bag under my other arm, and then from that bag there are a few different tubes that all contain reeds, and
that's the drone.
And the chanter and the regulators.
Yeah. It seemed to. I've had a number of Illan pipers on here before, and it usually seems to take them an awfully long time to get set up and tuned, and they can be temperamental. But you got going in no time at all.
I'm probably just my standards aren't as high as them. Maybe. No, I'm actually lucky to be playing. Lately, a chanter that I got when my teacher died, a really nice chanter that has been super reliable for me. So I'm really happy to be playing it lately.
The chanter is the thing that you finger
that creates the melody.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, it looks like a short flute. Almost,
yeah, it's pretty
really.
Similar. It's pretty similar. The Illan pipes are one of the few bagpipes in the world that are a closed system, which means you can play staccato notes. So rather than a continuous legato flow of notes, which most bagpipes are, these have the ability to play staccato notes.
Can you give us an example?
Sure. So normally most pipes would be like, you know, just continuous. And then with these you can play, you know, all those staccato notes.
You can silence the chanter.
That kind of thing.
And how do you do that?
Well, that's what I was just going to get to. The difference, like on a flute in general, when you think about the way of playing, is you just put your fingers down on the holes. But on the pipes, it's kind of the reverse. So default mode on the pipes is with all of my fingers down, like this, where there's no sound coming out. And then in order to create sound, rather than putting my fingers down, I have to pick them up. Like that. So it's slightly different. In that way, it's kind of like a reversal of what you're used to doing if you're used to playing most woodwind instruments.
Yeah, any woodwind instrument, you cover it up to
exactly
to change the pitch.
That's right.
I suppose shorten the instrument in some way.
Right. Exactly.
Effectively. We're talking with Jesse Smith, fiddle player, and Sean Gavin at the moment, Illan piper, and also flute, and sometimes whistle. What do you got?
Sorry, we were just talking there. It was probably
fine.
Ruined what you were saying.
No, I wasn't saying anything. I was just saying your name, so it wasn't overly profound.
I was
just to remind
people
who were listening to
it. If Jesse gave us a tune just on the fiddle.
I'd love it.
I don't know what I'll play, but... Thank you. The first one's called The Broken Pledge. The second one, it's an old one. And the second one's not too sure about it. It's called The Humor's a Scarf. Mm-hmm. Don't know how old it is, but it's a Clare tune.
You know, one of the things I often find challenging in listening to Irish tunes is when they change.
I messed the change up there.
Oh, you messed the change up?
Yeah, I didn't actually mean to go in that second one. It was an accident.
You mean you didn't expect to go, plan to go to the second tune?
Well, I planned on going to a different one. And then my fingers did that one instead.
Does that happen a lot?
Yeah, it happens a lot with me anyway.
So your fingers are the brain sometimes instead of your head housing the brain?
Well, no, I had to figure out what was going on there, so I just went into that one because it started sounding like it. But I meant to go into a different tune, you know? But then when I forget what I was trying to go into there. Trying to go into that one, and instead I went. To that.
When you choose tunes to, I mean, whether you choose them intentionally or accidentally to play as a set.
Yeah.
Does one usually choose them because they are related in some way, which is what makes it difficult for a lay person like me to hear when they change?
It's hard to put tunes together, I think. You know, it takes... There's some people have a real talent for it, and I don't think I do have that talent, because I end up just playing one tune a lot of times at home. You know, if I'm just playing for myself, I don't put tunes together as much.
A lot of people do that, I think. Yeah. Just play one tune at a time.
Kind of feel forced into putting a few tunes together because they're kind of short on their own, you know?
Yeah,
but I think back in the old days, it was a lot of just one tune being played at a time. People didn't have that.
Well, a lot of those pretty much all the Wax Cylinders are just one tune.
One tune, yeah,
at a time.
Would that have anything to do with more recent recording, not necessarily techniques, but habits, where you know you want to have a track that's got 2, 3, 4 minutes on it?
From the 78 records, probably.
Yeah, that may be. And also, I think it might have something to do with dancing. Like a lot of times, the sets would be pretty long. That the dancers would want, like set dancers would want to dance too. So you'd have to play. You'd get sick of playing just one tune the whole time. So you'd want to add a couple others in there to keep it interesting.
But in which case, then you would want to play a tune that was somewhat related, so that the dancers could be continuing to do somewhat the same pattern.
Yeah, a lot of people do take that approach. Some people take a different approach where they want to play something different, change keys, something like that, to give the dancers a lift. A lot of times people say things like that too. So,
how often do you get to play for dancers?
Not enough.
Yeah, not enough for me. But now and then, I was just playing for some in Chicago last weekend at the Gaelic Park Festival there, and we're playing a Kaylee on Saturday in Detroit. Actually,
that'll be fun.
Yeah. Talk about a Kaylee. That's a term that most people won't know.
A Kaylee is a dance, basically. It's in Irish. I think it means party. Literally in basically in Irish, but it's used to refer to dances where people get together to dance, set dancing like, or Kaylee dancing, which is kind of like an equivalent to, it's like Irish square dancing kind of, to compare it to something people would be used to.
So if you have a Kaylee band, it's going to be the sort of band that specializes in
that kind of, exactly. It's for
either
those.
Playing dance music or playing for dances or both.
Both, I would say. A real Kaylee band is always ready to play for dancers.
And Kaylee is spelled C-E-I-L-I?
Mm-hmm. Some people like that. With an afada in there, yeah. A little line over the I.
A line over the I, okay.
It's like an accent mark, kind of.
Jesse, having spent so long living in Ireland, have you learned Irish?
A little bit, but we want me to say something?
Not necessarily, no. What I really don't want to do is have you present me any Irish to pronounce myself, because that's one I just can't do it. I've heard that there are big chunks of Ireland where people don't actually speak Irish.
Yeah, there's all, what they call Gaeltacht areas. And the Gaeltacht areas where they speak Gaelic, you know? It's a word, I suppose, it comes from Gaelic. But Gaeltachts are just regions. They're little pockets and places, mainly along the west. The country straight from Donegal, which is in the north, all the way down along the west coast and all different counties where they just have areas where people really do just speak Irish there. It's their first language, you know. They speak English as well, but they, with each other and their neighbors, they just speak Irish.
And are you in one of those areas?
No, but I lived and close, when I lived in Galway, I lived very close to one of the big ones there in Galway, you know, in Connemara. So I used to do a weekly gig on a Friday night out in Spittal, which is in the Gaeltacht area. And yeah, everybody speaks Irish there. It's like, you know, they speak English, but their main, if they're talking to each other, they speak in Irish. Mm. And you miss out on a lot of the jokes and stuff, you know what I mean?
That's probably why they do it, keep it in.
Oh, definitely. You're probably the brunt of most of the jokes. You
know? Hey, might as well take advantage of it. You know what I would love to hear is an air.
Go ahead.
Me?
Yeah.
You don't want to play one?
No.
You sure?
Yeah, you go for it.
All right. There's one I've been working on called The Bold Trainer-O. It's a Napoleonic song. It's one of Willie Clancy was a famous piper who died in the 70s, but there's one of the major festivals in Ireland. It's called the Willie Clancy Summer School Festival, and it's a week-long festival in County Clare, and it's in honor of Willie Clancy. It was my favorite piper, and he played this, so I learned it off him.
Love hearing airs. The thing about the airs, you know, when you look at each other before, what, do you want to do it? It's usually done by a solo voice.
It is, mostly, yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
And why is that? Is it just hard to accompany?
It's impossible to play because although there's a wrong phrasing to it, there's a lot of leeway in the right way, the right phrasing of the air, you know.
Yeah.
There's a lot of freedom in it, even though there's a lot of, you know, there's a certain way to do it, but there's a lot of ways around it that are okay, and a little variations on timing and stuff. And it just wouldn't sound right with two people doing it. And because mainly the singers would have done it unaccompanied, you know, what they call it shano singing, the old style singing. It was all unaccompanied, and it was just one singer. It kind of stems from that, and the performer on an instrument would play it on their own. It's really amazing airs on the pipes as well. Do you play any airs on the pipes?
Not currently, no. I mean, I do play some, but none that I would be prepared to play at the moment.
And why is that?
It's been a while, and I just don't have anything prepared, really, you know.
Are airs the sort of thing that people don't typically do as often? Or are harder to do?
Certainly not in like a social settings, like as far as like sessions and things like that. But occasionally that would happen. Like, and you know, I think that happens pretty often. It just depends on which circles you travel in, I suppose.
When you were playing that, Jesse, it occurred to me that I think most of the time when I've heard airs, it's more likely to be on the flute or on the pipes, because it sounded to me anyway like the ornamentations you're using or the gestures you were using seemed like something picked up from the pipes.
Yeah.
Now you said you learned that tune from a piper.
Yeah.
I mean, was there a certain amount of imitation going on in that sense?
I suppose, yeah. I haven't really come I wouldn't say I feel like that. I'm playing that in my own way yet. You know what I mean? I've only been playing it for a few months, and for me, it's much harder to play an air than a reel or jig because it's like reels and jigs I've been doing. That's like second nature for me, you know. So I'm making a real attempt this next couple of years to learn a lot more airs from singers and pipers and things. And I love them, you know. I love to listen to them, but then to try and play them, they're so like the phrasing is really the hard part, you know.
Very difficult. Yeah,
I probably didn't. You know, a singer might have heard what I just did there and said, "Nah, that's wrong." You know.
So with jigs and reels, to a certain extent, the notes are the notes. I mean, even though you can ornament the notes and you can vary
the
notes,
style. It's just about the style. Yeah. And
a lot of it is to do with the rhythm. Like the rhythm in an air is very difficult to because it's not consistent. Whereas in a jig or a reel, it's pretty much a consistent beat.
Well, while I was listening, I was thinking I had lost the beat a few times.
There isn't really
part of the
beat,
style,
if you know what I mean. Like there isn't, it doesn't really work that way.
No,
it's kind of more rhythmically free, and that's why it's pretty nearly impossible to play an air as a duo, and also why I don't have one for you today.
I'm not asking you to apologize for not having an air today. I'm just sort of trying to explore the notion of
One. I'll have one for next time.
Oh, please. Well, that'd be great. That'd be great. In which case, I request the flute.
Okay.
All right. Sean Gavin and Jesse Smith are live with us here on Live and Local. They'll be performing tonight at the Heartland Gallery in downtown Urbana for a show at 8 o'clock. Our program is made possible in part by a grant from St. Joseph Apothecary in St. Joseph, a full-service pharmacy specializing in compounding medications to meet individual patient needs. St. Joseph Apothecary invites you to join them in supporting WILL. You're invited to join WILL's Civil War train in the month of September. You can board vintage train cars for stops in Vicksburg, Atlanta, Kennesaw Mountain, Chickamauga, and New Orleans, or visit the Smithsonian Southern and Southeast Railway Museums and see Civil War era Washington, D.C. The trip is nearly sold out. If you want to get involved, call 217-333-7300 or visit will.illinois.edu/willtravel for more information. The Piper's Hot Concert Series presents traditional acoustic Celtic music throughout the Champaign-Urbana area throughout the year, and you can always check to see what's coming up next in their series. Their web address is pipers-hut.com. Before we hear another, hopefully a couple of tunes or sets, depending upon how things go, let me mention some other events going on in our listening area over the next couple of days. This is Tuesday the 5th, so that means that the group Strings Attached will be at the Kickapoo Landing in Oakwood this evening at 5:30. The Traditional Jazz Orchestra is playing at the Iron Post in Urbana this evening at 5 o'clock. The Peoria Bach Festival is getting underway tomorrow with a program called Bach at Noon. That's today. This is noon already. So never mind about that. That's happening as we're talking about it. But tomorrow, the program's called Lunch with Bach, exploring the Christmas Oratorio at Trinity Evangelical Lutheran Church in Peoria. And then later in the day, Mr. Bach goes to Bethlehem at 4 o'clock. I'll be talking with one of the co-directors of the Peoria Bach Festival on tomorrow's program. They are focusing on and performing later in the week the Christmas Oratorio. In two segments, Friday and Saturday. We'll hear all about it on tomorrow's program. We'll also be talking with Will Maring, who with Robert Bowling are going to be performing later on in the week as well. She's a vocalist, and I'm actually not seeing it on the calendar at the moment. The Hot Iron String Band will be Wednesday night at Clark Bar in Champaign, 6:30. John Miller and the Romantics are at the Rhythm Kitchen in Peoria, Wednesday evening at 6:30. The Brian Chobin Quintet play jazz at Fat Jackson Bloomington Wednesday evening at 5:30. The Little Theater on the Square in Sullivan presents Grease at 8 o'clock Wednesday and continues for quite a while. And it's Tom Irwin and Jeff Ryan playing folk music at Bob's Butternut Hut in Springfield Wednesday night at 9 o'clock. What do we got next?
Well, I might try a tune. We might try a couple polkas. I might take the first one and come out on the second one.
I don't know, really. You go for it. You go for it.
Jesse wants to put me on the spot. So we put him on twice now, so I guess it's only
fair. Enough. Yeah.
Revenge.
I'll play a couple of polkas, I guess. These are tunes that I got from Kevin Henry, the same flute player I was talking about earlier. And there's a few different kinds of ways of playing polkas in Ireland, I guess. And these tunes come from Connacht. I won't say anything about the way I'm going to try and play them, but that's the area they come from anyway, which is kind of the northwest of Ireland.
Sean Gavin, live on Live and Local. Sean Gavin, reels, were they?
Those jigs. Were polkas.
Polkas, that's... we could talk about endlessly about all the differences between the various dances, but we won't, because I'd like to hear you guys do something to close things out together.
Sure.
Sean Gavin and Jesse Smith kicking off their tour with a concert tonight at Heartland Gallery in downtown Urbana. Nice place to hear programs. You got all your tunes in a little tiny book there.
There's a lot of tunes in that little book, but yeah, we
and even more in your head.
Probably not.
Probably not.
That's the second one.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then.
Okay. Sounds good.
So we'll play three tunes for you. The first one's called "Lovely Molly." The second one's called "Flowery Fields of Scotland." And the third one is called The Lame Fisherman. It's one of the many names for it.
Well, thanks again for having us, Kevin.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
Thank you very much.
It's a real pleasure. Happy to do it again. And whether it's solo, duo, or with whatever band you're touring with, we can have you all in here. It's great. I always appreciate supporting Dean Karras's concert series, partly because I like the music, but mostly because he brings such fine musicians in, and it's a real treat to have you all here.
Thank you very much.
Thanks very much, Kevin.
You're listening to 90.9 WYLFM and HD Urbana with translators W266 AF Urbana and W293 AF Danville, NPR Classical Music and More for Central Illinois, WYLL's member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois, and we have support from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wines, beers, and spirits for the serious collector to the first-time buyer. Wine tastings are held on Saturdays from 3 to 6:30 p.m. in the Bouvon Wine Bar. More information is available at thecorkscrew.com.